the second one, the second part of the relationship. I just want you to understand the different kinds of relationships that exist in the Bible and where we stand as Christians, and the great privilege and honor that God has given to us by giving us spiritual insight into Him and understanding of Him, so that we can know Him, or we know Him and we can have access to whatever concerns God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I think it's a big message. Amen. Because when you understand that you know God as a person, and you know the things of God, and you can assess the things of God, when you begin to understand that, you begin to understand not only who you are, but then your faith is provoked to do something. Amen. Amen. You know when you meet any circumstance who you are. You know that with some kind of understanding, you are at par with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, what I want you to understand is God had a covenant with Abraham. That's the second relationship. What's that called, relationship? Covenant relationship. God had a covenant with Abraham. Hallelujah. You ready for the word? Shout a bit, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't want this flow. When I'm flowing, I see that you are too quiet. Like, are these people receiving all your... What is he talking about? All these many things. It's very important. Watching this conference, we don't believe in coming to sit down to watch people. We believe that. We don't also believe in coming to sit down to warm chair. We believe that you come to hear the word of God, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. So one of our major aim is to furnish you with the word of God and then cause you to do something with the word and come back with the testimony. Amen.
Amen.
If you cannot do anything with the word of God, then hearing the word of God is useless. The purpose for hearing God's word is for us to be able to do the word of God. That is why we say we are doers of the word. Say, I'm a word doer.
I'm a word doer.
Say that again. Say, I'm a word doer.
I'm a word doer.
That is what is called a covenant relationship. God had a relationship with Abraham. And the relationship that God had with Abraham is referred to as the Abrahamic covenant. In other words, God made a covenant with Abraham. It's called the, write it down. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. God's relationship with Abraham is called the Abrahamic covenant. Covenant simply means an agreement. So there was an agreement between God and Abraham. And their relationship is known as a covenant relationship. It's different from the relationship that we have now. And I made a major statement that the Christian does not have, what did I say? The Christian does not have a covenant with God. And God is not a covenant keeping God to the Christian. And I said I was going to explain it today. So it's very important that you understand. Maybe you are coming from a church or a place where they say, oh, we have a covenant with God. We have a covenant with God. That is a wrong understanding. The Christian does not have a covenant with God. And when I finish, you understand. Amen.
Amen.
It's very important that we understand these things. And people don't pray to God or don't talk to God based on covenant. Remember your covenant and all of that, which is not necessary. Hallelujah. It's not necessary. When you understand who you are as a Christian, you would know. You would know that we don't have a covenant with God. God made a covenant with Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. It is also called the universal covenant. Write it down. And it's also called the generational covenant. It's called the Universal Covenant. You are coming for watching this conference. Maybe you're invited. You don't know today. I'm telling you, when you're coming for watching this conference, please come with your Bibles and your books. Watching this conference is what? A classroom. It's a lecture hall. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the covenant is called what? Yeah, the Universal Covenant or the Generational Covenant or the Abrahamic Covenant. Now, it is called the Universal Covenant because the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and the New Testament or the New Covenant, they are all hung on the Abrahamic Covenant. That's why it's called a Universal Covenant. And it's called a Generational Covenant because the covenant that God made with Abraham concerns Abraham's seed also. So it is also referred to as a Generational Covenant. It concerns Abraham's seed. God made a covenant with Abraham and to his seeds. Shout hallelujah. So it's also referred to as a generational covenant. And also referred to as a universal covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant is not the Old Testament.
No, let me not go into that one.
Hallelujah. I think one day we'll take our time and explain what it means, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's very important. But what I want you to understand is that God made a covenant with Abraham. In any covenant, there are two things involved. One, the purpose of the covenant, and two, the seal of the covenant. There is always a seal when the covenant is involved. When there's a covenant between two persons, there is always a seal. When we talk about a seal, we are talking about something like a stamp, an attestation, an evidence that proves the authenticity of the covenant. So, those days where when a young man and a young lady decide to have a covenant to love each other forever. Have you ever heard about that before? I don't think it's still happening now. But those days when that was happening, you would realize that they would make a covenant and then they would cut themselves. Are you following me? They would cut themselves. This one will cut some, this one will cut this one. They will put it together and then they will say something. Maybe I promise to love you forever, or I swear that I love you forever, or I promise to marry you, or something like that. You understand? There's always a seal. The seal is the blood. When they cut themselves, the seal is the blood. And there's always a purpose for that covenant. Or when somebody goes to an idol and then makes a covenant with such a person, there's always something the person presents to the idol. That is the seal. That is the attestation. That is the evidence that this covenant is holding. And it's not just a mouth talk, but rather it's binding. Hallelujah. So there's always a seal, number one, and there's always a purpose for the covenant. So when God made a covenant with Abraham, there was a seal. Open up to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And I will be simpler. Genesis 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. 1-4, no, you can't read all. I just let's start from verse 1 quickly. NIV, what is the NIV? What is the NIV?
When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant.
As an everlasting covenant.
Between me and you, and your descendants.
And your descendants. That is why it's a generational covenant. So God did not just have a covenant with Abraham. He had a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. Amen. Okay.
And your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now listen, when God made a covenant with Abraham, there was a purpose for the covenant. It says, I've made you father of many nations. When you study carefully, you realize that God was actually willing the whole earth to Abraham. He was giving the whole earth to Abraham as his inheritance. That was the covenant. But the seal of the covenant was that when you read down that you see that was talking about circumcision, the covenant of circumcision. So the seal of that covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, was circumcision. God told Abraham what you will do is that you will circumcise all your male children, or even your male slaves, you circumcise them. So by that circumcision, there was a seal. So any male child that came to Abraham's house whether slave or born to Abraham, had to be circumcised. And that is why God had wanted to kill Moses' son. Why? Because there was a covenant between Abraham and God that any male child born into the family will be circumcised. And that was the seal, the proof, the evidence that the covenant was holding. And that God was supposed to perform his own part of the covenant, and Abraham was supposed to perform his own part of the covenant. Hallelujah. That was the seal. Then the purpose or the reason for the covenant was that God made a covenant with Abraham to will the whole earth to him. He said, I have made thee a father of many nations. A father of many nations. So his intent, God's intention was to give the whole earth to Abraham. So when he made a covenant with Abraham, he gave the whole earth to Abraham as his inheritance. Listen very carefully. These two things are very important as we go on. Hallelujah. So he gave the whole earth to Abraham as his inheritance. So Abraham was the father of nations, the one in charge of all the whole earth, by the covenant that God had made with him. And then the seal of the covenant was the circumcision that God had told him that he should circumcise all his male children, whether born into his family, slave or free or unfree. That is, slave or unslaved, not a slave. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to understand this thing too. There are two kinds, or there are two categories of the seed of Abraham. I'm talking about Abraham and his seed. There is the seed of Abraham after the flesh, write it down. The seed of Abraham after faith, or after the spirit. There is the seed of Abraham after the flesh, and there is the seed of Abraham after faith, or after the spirit. The seed of Abraham after the flesh, and the seed of Abraham after faith, or after the spirit. The seed of Abraham. Now, when we talk about the seed of Abraham after the flesh, we are talking about the seed of Abraham, or the children of Abraham that were born unto him after the flesh. When we talk about the seed of Abraham after faith, you know who the person is. Amen. So, God had a covenant with Abraham and had a covenant with his seed also after the flesh. So, the seed of Abraham after the flesh also had a covenant with God. So, when we talk about the seed of Abraham after the flesh, we are talking about the covenant that God made with the seed of Abraham, which he gave birth to after the flesh. When we talk about the seed of Abraham after faith or after the spirit, we are talking about God's relationship that he has with the children of Abraham or with the seed of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? So the first one after the flesh is the seed of Abraham that God has a covenant with. Listen very carefully. When he talks about the seed after faith, he's talking about the seed of Abraham that God has a relationship with in Christ Jesus. Shout hallelujah. It's not a very simple message.
Shout hallelujah. But it's very simple.
Now what I want you to understand is I want to talk about the seed of Abraham after the flesh first. Now, the seed of Abraham after the flesh, you all know that Abraham's wife was Sarah. How many of you know that? And we all know that Abraham had a child with Hagar. We all know that. And the child that came out of that relationship was Ishmael. Then we also know that Abraham had a child with Sarah that we call Isaac. Or that was called Isaac. So, the seed of Abraham after the flesh was Abraham's son called Isaac. Isaac's son, or sons, Jacob and Esau.
And then their sons.
So, seed of Abraham after the flesh were the sons that were born to Abraham naturally. How many of you understand that? So, he talks about Isaac, he talks about Jacob and Esau, he talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 patriarchs. Reuben, Simon, Levi, all of them. They were all the seed of Abraham after the flesh. But you see, God had spoken to Abraham, made a covenant to Abraham for a purpose. The purpose of God's covenant with Abraham was not for the people after the flesh. But then, the people after the flesh were also in place. God blessed them. God blessed all of them. At a point in time, God told Abraham, gave a promise to Abraham that his seed will be slaves in a foreign land. And that's where we get the Jews from, the Israelites from. Hallelujah. So God met Jacob. I want to just cut this one short. It's not
this is Sunday school.
This is Sunday school.
So
God changed Jacob's name. How many of you know that God changed Jacob's name after his encounter with God? How many of you know that? And changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And from that Israel, we have the Israelites. And then God said that, Abraham, your descendants will be slaves in a foreign land. And what God did in order to bring that prophecy to pass was to send Joseph ahead of time. So the Bible says that he sent Joseph ahead of time. And Joseph went to Egypt as a prisoner. And he came out of Egypt, the prime minister. Hallelujah. That was the seed of Abraham after the flesh, the seeds of Abraham. Until one day, when Joseph died, they said the king arose in Egypt that did not know any Joseph. He knew nothing about Joseph. So he started tormenting the descendants of Joseph, which are also the descendants of Jacob, and then the descendants of who? Of Abraham. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so God sent Moses. Moses go and rescue these people. That is all, that is about the seed of Abraham after the flesh. God continued this covenant, renewed this covenant, continued this covenant with the seed of Abraham after the flesh. So God made a covenant with the Jews through Moses, with the blood of bulls and goats. And God gave them a law. And the law was not just the Ten Commandments, there were many more than Ten Commandments. But he gave them the law, to follow the law. So that is how God dealt with the seed of Abraham after the flesh. But the reason why I don't want to emphasize on all of that was because the Bible tells us that when you read all of that, it was a shadow of that which was to come. So all that was happening all those times were just a shadow of the real thing. Galatians says that it was a schoolmaster. In other words, it was leading us to the real thing. So, shall we please open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 4. That's the seed of Abraham after the flesh. Now we are looking at the seed of Abraham after faith, or after the spirit. I don't want to spend more time on this, but I have a lot of things to talk about. Shout hallelujah. Romans chapter 4, verse 13.
Romans chapter 4, verse 13.
Now, have you all opened your Bibles? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Now, let us read it out loud. It's very important. It's very important. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Have you all opened our Bibles? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. 1, 2, go. Oh, hallelujah. Are we here?
Yes.
Shall we please take it again? I want us to shout it out loud. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. 1, 2, go.
It was not promised that he should be the heir of the world. Mm-hmm. It was not that Abraham was to be seen through the law, but through the righteousness of
faith. Take it again.
But
through what?
The righteousness
of faith. We go to that. But now listen. One of God's major purposes for making that covenant with Abraham was that God had foreseen the coming of Christ. Listen very carefully before we enter into this one. God had foreseen the coming of Christ. He foreknew the coming of Christ. He knew that Christ was going to come. And he knew that if Christ was supposed to come, Christ was not just going to descend from heaven. Christ had to be born into the world. You cannot have a legal right to function in this world until you are born into the world, or you are born of a woman. You cannot have a legal right to function in, to live, stay, function in this world until you are born of a woman. Shout
hallelujah.
So God knew that Jesus Christ was going to come, and he had to be born. And God, for knowing that Jesus Christ was going to come, was making a covenant with Abraham so that Christ could come from the lineage of Abraham. So that the flesh of Christ or the body of Christ could come from the lineage of Abraham. So God made a covenant with Abraham because he had foreseen the future. The major purpose of the covenant was not just the circumcision and all of that, like we read. in Romans chapter 4 verse 13. But one, the first major purpose for the that covenant was for God to be able to raise up Christ or bring us, bring Christ Jesus into the world through the lineage of Abraham. So Christ Jesus is known as the seed of Abraham. And I'll explain that. So that is one of God's major purpose. When you read the book of Philippians chapter 2, it says that let his mind be in you,
which was also in Christ Jesus,
who even though he was equal with God, thought it not to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And did what? Took upon himself the form of a man. Where did he get that form from? From the lineage of Abraham. So, God made a covenant with Abraham for that purpose. So that, number one, Christ could come from the lineage of Abraham. Christ could get his flesh, his body, by which he would function on this earth, from the lineage of Abraham. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to Philippians chapter 2. Let me explain that one before I continue. Quickly, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. I want you to follow me very carefully. It's a very simple message. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Who would like to read it for us? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7 first. Hebrews, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 first. How about people?
Philippians chapter 2, verse 7.
Uh-huh.
But made himself of no reputation,
uh-huh,
taking the form of a bond servant,
uh-huh,
and coming in the likeness of men.
Coming in the likeness of, who was the King James?
But made himself of no reputation,
uh-huh,
and took upon him the form of a servant,
uh-huh,
and was made in the likeness of men.
And was made in the likeness of men. He was talking about Jesus Christ. He was going to come in the likeness of men. So when Jesus came, he called himself the Son of Man. Why? He called himself the Son of Man. Jesus did not just descend from heaven. You know that. But when he came into the world, he came with a body. He was born of God by his spirit. He had his life from God. He was born of God. But was residing in a body. You can't function on this earth until you have a body. You cannot function legally on this earth until you have a body. Once a man leaves his body, the body is not useful again. So he needed a body from the lineage of Abraham. So God, for knowing that Christ was going to come, made a covenant with Abraham so that the Christ will come as somebody from the lineage of Abraham, so that he could derive his flesh or get his body from the lineage of Abraham. Have you got that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he was known as the seed of God and the seed of Abraham, because he had gotten his body from Abraham. He had gotten his spirit and the life in his spirit from God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15.
Chapter 3, verse 14.
Uh-huh.
Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood,
uh-huh,
he himself likewise,
mm-hmm,
shared in the same.
You have the Bibles with you. Are you looking? If you don't look at the Bible, you wouldn't understand. It would be like a story to you. Shout hallelujah. It will be like a story to you. If you don't look at your Bibles and then read alongside, you wouldn't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Now we're doing it.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14.
Uh-huh.
Inasmuch then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood.
Inasmuch as the children were partakers of flesh and blood.
He himself likewise shared in the same. That through death.
He shared in what same? In flesh and blood. Where did he get that one from? From the lineage of Abraham. Shout hallelujah. Because we all know that he was born of a virgin. He got his body from that part. He got his spirit from the life of the word of God. So the angel said that it went to Mary, saluted Mary, gave the word to Mary. And Mary said, how shall this be? They said, the Spirit of God will come on you and the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. So he got his spirit from the Holy Ghost. And so his life, the life of Christ, He got it from the Holy Ghost. But his body came from Mary. And because Mary and Joseph had been betrothed, and Joseph came from the lineage of Abraham. Are you following? So because Joseph came from the lineage of Abraham, Jesus Christ got his flesh and blood from the lineage of Abraham, but got his spirit and the life that was in his spirit from the Holy Ghost or from God. So he was born of God. How do you know he was born of God? Because of his spirit. But then even though he was born of God, he resided in a body. So right now you are born of God, but you reside in a body. You understand? So God, for knowing that Jesus Christ was going to come, put all those structures in place. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now the second major reason, apart from that, is what you are reading in Romans chapter 4, verse 13. He says that, okay, read it again. Romans 4, 13. Very quickly. And let's all open to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, let me just...
Galatians chapter 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the law was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith.
That he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Who are the King James? 13. Who are the King James speaking? Oh, but I'm not enjoying your name, King James. Yeah,
Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law.
Was not to Abraham and to his seed through the law.
But through the righteousness of faith.
But through the righteousness of faith. The promise that Abraham will be the heir of the world was not to him through the law or to his seed through the law. The law was when the law has to do with the seed of Abraham after the flesh. I'll explain that. That God gave the law to the seed of Abraham after the flesh. We call them the Israelites or the Jews. And God dealt with them. And Moses was their prophet. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But he said that Abraham should be the heir of the world was not because of the law, but because of faith. Go to Galatians quickly. Let us finish this one. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Now to Abraham and his seed, were the promises made. He said not. And to seed.
And to seeds.
As of many.
As of many.
But as of one.
But as of one. Listen.
And to thy seed.
Wait. So from Galatians chapter what? 3 verse
16.
We realize that. Listen very carefully. Look at me. You realize that. From Galatians chapter 4 verse 16, you realize that. It means that when God made a covenant with Abraham and said to his seed, he says he was not referring to his seeds. He was referring to his seed. But when God made Abraham a covenant with Abraham, Abraham knew that he was talking about seeds. But Paul comes to give us a revelation that no, when God said that, and to your seeds, I'm giving you the whole world as an inheritance, I'm giving an inheritance, and to your seeds, I'm not talking about seeds of the flesh. Paul said that no, he was talking about the seed, one seed, not seeds, but one seed. In other words, when God was making a covenant with Abraham, God had in mind that he was not talking about Isaac. Neither was he talking about Jacob, he was talking about one seed who was supposed to come. How many of you understand that?
And to thy seed, which is Christ.
And to thy seed, which is Christ. And to thy seed. So he made a covenant with Abraham and to his seed. In other words, the Abrahamic covenant was such that even though when you read in Genesis, it talks about a lot of things, Genesis chapter 17. In reality, when we say reality, we're talking about truth. Say truth. In reality, it wasn't a covenant that God just made with Abraham because of and the seed because of the flesh, but the seed of faith, which was Christ, who was going to come. Because God knew that he had willed the whole earth to Abraham. For Christ, he says, to also be part of the owners of the world, he needed to come from the seed of Abraham. Because he had willed the whole earth to Abraham. So when Jesus Christ came, God gave him all the things that he needed. Or God gave him all the things that God had. But there was something God did not have, he had given it to Abraham. That was the wealth. He had given it to Abraham by covenant. So God gave Jesus Christ all that he had as God. He gave Jesus his life. He gave Jesus his nature of righteousness. God gave Jesus his authority. God even gave Jesus his person. So, Jesus walking on the earth was the person of God because God gave it to him. You understand? But then God had willed the whole earth to Abraham by covenant. So, if Jesus would also be part of the owners of the world, he had to come from Abraham's lineage as the seed of Abraham. It was only by coming from being made the seed of Abraham that he could be part of the wealth or the inheritance that had been given to Abraham, which was the wealth. So Jesus, listen very carefully, follow me. So he said, and he said not as unto seeds as of many, but he said unto seed as of one, which was Christ. So in other words, in reality, in truth, the covenant God made with Abraham and to his seed, which we call the generational covenant, which you say and to his seeds or to his seed, was actually to one seed called Christ. So, listen. It means that Christ doesn't have a covenant with Abraham. And Christ doesn't have a covenant with God. Why? Because Christ is and was the seed of Abraham. And also was and is the seed of God. How many of you understand that? As you repeat it, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it means this. Christ doesn't have a covenant with Abraham because Christ is the seed of Abraham. Christ came as a seed of Abraham. So he said, when he said unto seed, that was when, listen very carefully. This is just English interpretation. This is not your revelation. Listen. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. It says, when God did what? Made a promise to Abraham. He did not say and unto seeds, but he said and unto seed. So when God made a covenant with Abraham, he said, I've made a covenant with you, Abraham, and to your seed, and with your seed, or to your seed, I'll give you this inheritance, and to your seed. When God said that, he was referring to Christ. If God was referring to Christ, then it means that Christ was the seed of Abraham that God was talking about. How many of you know that? You understand now? Now, if Christ was the seed of Abraham that was talking about, it means that Christ did not or does not have a covenant with Abraham. Christ came as a seed of Abraham or as the seed of Abraham, as spoken to us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. How many of you understand that? So, God made a covenant with Abraham, specified a covenant, told him that I'm making a covenant with you. I'm going to give you the whole earth, not only you, and your seed also. So, because of this covenant, I give you the whole earth. Are you following? And your seed. But when God was talking about seed, he wasn't talking about Isaac and Jacob and all of that. He was talking about Christ. If God was talking about Christ as the seed of Abraham, then that Christ is the seed of Abraham. If Christ is the seed or the son of Abraham, it means that Christ does not have a covenant with Abraham. In other words, the relation that exists between Christ and Abraham was a father-son relationship. And the relation that exists between Christ and God is a father-son relationship. How many of you understand that now? Why? Because you don't have a covenant with your father. You have a relationship with your father as his child. So you are a father's child. It's not a covenant, it's a relationship by birth. So Christ's relationship with Abraham was by birth. And that's why I took my time to explain that. And that was the lineage of the flesh. In other words, he wanted a body. And he got that one from Abraham. And he wanted life. And he got that life from God. So Christ Jesus walking on this earth was the seed of Abraham and the seed of God. He was the seed of Abraham because he came in the natural. He functioned on this earth. He was in a body. He got his body from the lineage of Abraham. But he got his spirit from God. Because God did not create another body for Christ. How many of you know that? God knows why I created the body for Adam. So if you are coming, I can create another body for you. No. That's one of the principles of God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Christ Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And Christ Jesus is the seed of God. The seed or the seed means what? The child.
The offspring.
So Christ Jesus is the offspring of Abraham and the offspring of who?
Of God.
Because of that, Christ does not have a covenant with God. The covenant that God had with Abraham was beneficial or was necessary for the seed of Abraham to come into place, and which was Christ. How many of you understand that now? So Christ does not have a covenant with Abraham. No. The covenant was between God and Abraham. And by the covenant, the whole world was given to him. I'm repeating over and over again because I want you to understand. By the covenant, the whole world was given to Abraham and to his seed by the covenant. But the covenant was between Abraham and who? And God. And through or because of the covenant, the whole earth was given to Abraham and to his seed. So the purpose of the covenant that I said earlier on was for God to do what? To give the whole earth to Abraham, or to will the whole earth to Abraham and to his seed. And that seed he was talking about was Christ. So the relation that Abraham has with Christ is a father-son relationship after the flesh. And after the spirit, God-Christ relationship. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because of that, Christ does not have a covenant with Abraham. Neither does Christ have a covenant with God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the Bible refers to Christ as the seed of Abraham. That's what Galatians chapter 3 tells us. That when he said to seed, he said to Christ. If he said seed to Christ, then it means that Christ is the seed of Abraham that God was talking about. And because Christ is the seed or the son of Abraham that God was talking about, Christ did not have a covenant with Abraham. Rather, what existed or what exists now between Abraham and Christ is what? Father and seed relationship or son relationship. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, Christ does not have a covenant with Abraham. Because of that, because we are born again and we are in Christ Jesus, we don't have a covenant with God or with Abraham. No. The same way Christ has a fatherly relationship with Abraham and with God, that's the same way we have a fatherly relationship with Abraham and with God. Pastor, I should have talked to the father of Abraham. This was very simple.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But then let's go to Galatians 3 verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 to 29. You read only 16. Let's move. Go to 17, 18, let me see.
Okay. Verse 17. Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18.
Uh-huh.
And this I say,
uh-huh,
that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ,
mm-hmm,
the law,
mm-hmm,
which was 430 years after,
mm-hmm,
cannot disannul,
mm-hmm,
but it should make the promise of none effect.
Mm-hmm.
For if the inheritance be of the law,
mm-hmm,
it is no more of promise,
mm-hmm,
but God gave it to Abraham by promise. That's the verse 18. Okay. Verse 19. Wherefore then severed the law? It was added because of transgressions.
I don't have time to go into all of this and the law, but continue.
It was added because
I want to make sure I'm not switching from the team, but talk to
talking about. It was added because of transgressions. So the seed should come to whom the promises was made.
So the seed should come to whom the promise was made.
And it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the Lord then against the promise of God, the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been given by the law. But the scripture had concluded all in the same, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law.
We were kept under the law, but not we. Continue.
Hallelujah.
The Jews were kept under the law. But if I say I'm explaining this, I will have to explain the Jews and the Gentiles again and go back. But you just continue. Right?
But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Anyone who is in Christ Jesus is what? It's a child of God. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, you believe in the Lordship of Jesus, you are a child of God. Continue.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed.
If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Why? Because Christ is Abraham's seed. So if you are Christ or you belong to Christ, why do you belong to Christ? Because anybody who is born again and has believed in the Lordship of Jesus Christ belongs to Christ. And Christ has given such a person his spirit called the Holy Ghost. So if you have the Holy Ghost in you, you belong to Christ. If you belong to Christ and Christ is the seed of Abraham, then he says that then you are also what? The seed of Abraham. And then you are what? Heirs according to the promise. So we are heirs. Christ is an heir of the promise. We are also heirs of the promise because we are in Christ. Abraham was an heir of the promise. Abraham was the one that the promise was given to and the inheritance. And because we are the seed of Abraham, it has been transferred to Christ and transferred to us. So we are also the seed of Abraham and the heirs of Abraham. How many of you understand that? Because of that, the Christian does not have a covenant with God. The Christian has a fatherly relationship with God. And the Christian, as the seed of Abraham, has a fatherly relationship with Abraham. So, God is not a covenant-keeping God to the Christian. God is a father to the Christian. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, reading down, says, what manner of love has the Father lavished on us? That we should be called the sons of God. That is why we are referred to as the sons of God. Why are we sons of God? Because we are born of God. Why are we born of God? Because Christ is the Son of God, born of God. And so because we have faith in Christ, we are also sons of God. And he also refers to us as the seed of Abraham, because Christ is known as the seed of Abraham, and an heir of the promise. And so we are also referred to as the seed of Abraham and an heir of the promise. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So God is not a covenant-keeping God to us. God is a covenant-keeping God to Abraham and to Moses and all those people. But to us, God is a father. We don't have a covenant with God. He is our father. We are his sons. We walk on this earth as the sons of God. For as many as believed him, to them gave he what? Power to become what? The sons of God. So I'm a child of God. Oh, I didn't get it.
Amen.
I'm a child of God.
Child of God.
I'm the seed of Abraham.
I'm the seed of Abraham.
Or I'm a child of Abraham.
I'm a child of Abraham.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the relationship
that we have with God is not a covenant one. No. It's a family relationship. Family affair. Where God is our father. And we talk to him as a father. And he loves us as his children. And we love him as a father. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Abraham as the seed, as we as the seed of Abraham. So, when we talk about, when he says, let me explain this thing. Therefore, henceforth, no human man after the flesh. What he's talking about is that you don't regard yourself from, oh, I'm from John's family. No. When you regard yourself as the seed of Abraham, that becomes your mentality and your understanding. Then you also regard yourself as the seed of God. So whatever belongs to God has been given to the church. And whatever God gave to Abraham has been given to us. What did God give to Abraham? He gave the whole world to Abraham. And that is why any God hears from, we say we are international people.
That's right.
The world belongs to us. Even the world of the sinners belongs to the Christian. Why? Because what has he done? He has filled the whole earth to us. He wrote through Christ, to Abraham, to Christ, and to us. And God has also given us all the things that he has. His life, his nature, his whatever, even his person. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the Christian is not an ordinary person. The Christian is a person of honor. The Christian is an honorable person. People think, oh, when they see this person, an honorable person, means that he's a member of parliament. That is the wrong mentality for the Christian. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is an understanding that you must have about yourself. And you must be proud of that in Christ. You must be able to be boastful about your who you are in Christ Jesus. Christ has positioned you in a place of honor. Why? Because he has positioned you in him. Anybody who's in Christ is in honor. Anybody who's in Christ is in glory. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what are we talking about? Christ, the light and the sight. We are talking about the Abrahamic covenant, that relationship. Now we are getting into another relationship. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Before we get into that relationship, I want you to understand this. There are people who think that who are very much interested in the names of God. Today I'm dealing with two things. One is covenant, I've dealt with that one. When you go, just take the scriptures and read, you understand what I said right now. But there are people who think that we are dealing with God based on names. See, the old people, so they say Jehovah. They think that makes, no. That is also wrong. You may not like that, but it's wrong. Truth is true. Why? Let me explain it to you. Now listen. Are you listening?
Yes.
See, God revealed himself to the old people sometimes through names. So the people knew God by his names. Apart from that, there are two aspects of this one. Some God gave them the name. Some they gave God the name. Listen very carefully. So most of us think, oh, whatever name we mention, it was God who gave it to them. No. The Bible says that when Abraham had finished sacrificing the ram, he named the place Jehovah Jireh. Who named the place? Abraham. It wasn't God who told Abraham to name the place. It was Abraham who named the place Abraham, which means the Lord who provides. Why? Because the Lord had provided a ram for him in place of Isaac. So it wasn't God who said, but when you read, you realize that God also told the Israelites that I am the Lord that heals you. That's Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord that heals you. So God, Jehovah Rapha, God gave his name. I'm the Lord that heals you. And they say, okay, that's Jehovah Rapha. He heals us. Gideon, an angel of the Lord came to Gideon. Gideon was afraid. He thought he was going to die. When Gideon realized that he wasn't going to die, he made an altar and called the place Jehovah Shalom. For Jehovah Shalom. The angel came to Gideon. Gideon was afraid. Made an altar. After he saw that, oh, I've seen an angel, but I didn't die. He named the place. Built an altar and named the place Jehovah Shalom, which means what? the Lord of peace, or the Lord is my peace. So there are people who also think that in the New Testament, we do not know God by those names.
Why are you all quiet like that?
I'm shocking you. That is why many people, Jehovah, the name of Jehovah, is just, they are just terms. Why? Because see, in the New Testament, God has revealed his person to us. He has not given us those names. He has revealed his person to us. Do you know what that means? God has revealed his person to us in the name of Jesus. So, the name of Jesus is the person of God. You cannot even use the name of Jesus or have the name of Jesus until you are a possessor of the person of God. That is why when a person is born again, his spirit is made anew after the person of God. I've explained this over and over when I told you the image of God. I said, the Christian is the person of God in a body. So when Jesus Christ came, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen God. Everyone took up stones. Why? Because he came as... Go to Hebrews chapter 1, quickly. Let me just finish this one and we continue. So it is very important that we understand that in the New Testament, and maybe as we go on, I'll explain to you the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And why even God regards the New Testament more than the Old Testament? And why many people still think that the New Old Testament is very important, but God says, no, this thing you are talking about is not important again. Obsolete. But I'll explain that later on. But what I want you to catch here is that God has revealed his person to us. He has unveiled himself to us by bringing Jesus Christ. That's why I say God is no longer a mystery. By bringing Jesus Christ, he has unveiled his person to us. God has unveiled his person to us in the name of Jesus. The name of God in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. So if you are still looking for Jehovah and you are looking for the wrong name, he has given a name that is above every other name. Sometimes when we say that, we think that, oh, he's talking about a name that is above demons. No. Demons is part, but it's not just talking about only demons. Can you mention any name? It's an open check. A name that is above every other name. So, is there any name you can mention? The name Jesus is above that name you are mentioning. The only name that is equal to Jesus is the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. So, all those names by which God revealed himself, so the people did not actually know God by those names. But we know God. Why? Because God has unveiled himself to us in the person of Jesus. So anyone who believes in Jesus and is in Christ Jesus is in the person of God, or is the person of God, or is such a person is a person that God has unveiled his person to him. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you understand that? So God has given a name to us. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 says that I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. The whole family in heaven and on
earth. Should we open it?
The whole family in heaven and on earth is named. I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth. So the family in heaven refers to those who are dead and they are in heaven. But those of us who are still walking on this earth, the same name is for those who are in heaven and those who are on earth. And that name is the Father's name. And that name is the Father's name he has given to Jesus Christ and the church. And that name is called Jesus Christ. So I was teaching the name of Jesus one day and I said that the name of Jesus is not a name to be used. It's a name that we bear. Because anybody who is in Christ is bearing the name that Christ has.
And I'll teach you the name of Jesus.
So it is not when you come, when you are coming, all the devils in hell regard you as Jesus comes. Why? He calls us the church.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, how many of you understand that? So that I don't go far. I want to finish this one.
Okay, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, in the New Testament, we are not dealing with God based on the old names. Jehovah, whatever. But the name of Jesus has been given to us. What all the devils and situations and circumstances fear is the name of Jesus, not the name of Jehovah. It's very important. Why? Because Jesus went to hell, conquered the devil in hell, and rose from hell, ascended to heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of God, far above all principalities and powers. And he says, every name that is named in this world and the world to come. The name of Jesus in this world and the world to come. So we are not, we don't know God by the names in the Old Testament. No, we know God by his name that he has given to us, or he has given to Christ and to us. So the name of the church is Jesus.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because Christ Jesus is the head and we are the body. The head and the body has the same name. Your head and your body have the same name. We don't call your head Obed and we call your body John. No. In that same way, the head is Jesus Christ. His body is the church. His body is the extension of him. His body represents him on earth. So the name that is given to that one person is the name that we all bear. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we do not know God by Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Adonai, El Gibor. No, we do not know God by those names. We know him by the name of Jesus. The more you know the name of Jesus, the more you know the person of Jesus. Because the name is for a person. So if I say Obedjan, I'm mentioning a name, but the name belongs to a person. So the more I know the name, the more I know the person. The more I know the person, the more I know the name. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we do not deal with God based on all those names. It's very important.
It's called divine excellence. I switch into the new.
So, because of that, anybody who is walking on this earth and is a Christian has legal right to bear the name of Jesus and to use the name of Jesus. It is not Jehovah that the devil is afraid of. It is the name of Jesus is afraid of. Because Jesus is the one that God himself has raised.
I have time to talk about this name of Jesus.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So when you are even baptized, you are baptized in the name of Jesus. People say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means they are baptizing you in the name of Jesus. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus in the New Testament. So when people say, oh, we are starting this program in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's just it's the same way saying that we are starting in the name of Jesus. Or we are going to this place in the name of Jesus. Or we control this situation in the name of Jesus. But when you have a higher understanding, you even know that it's not controlling the name, you just say, hey, because you who is talking, you are regarded by the circumstance as Jesus. On this earth. That is why the Bible says, for as he is. For as he is, so are we in this world. Now. Not tomorrow, now. We are as he is in this world.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And because we are as he is in this world, we have the same name he has. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every day is causing
commotion here. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you understand that? How many of you understand that? How many of you understand that? So you go home knowing that that name you have has already defeated, conquered everything. Everything is under the name already. You are not now going to look for Jehovah to scare the devil. He's not scared by that name. Now he is scared by the name of Jesus. You should understand the place of, you should know who Jesus is. The place of Jesus. Then we should know our place in him. It will change a lot of things. There are things that you can change because of this understanding.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the next relationship we are talking about is the in Christ relationship. In Christ relationship. That is the highest relationship. And that is the relationship that a Christian has. And that is beyond a relationship. That is called a fellowship. Say a fellowship.
A fellowship.
So, don't go home, or maybe you came here, you are thinking about when we are praying. We are praying in the name of Jehovah.
Oh,
you are wasting your time.
Jehovah will answer.
Because even when you stand to pray, you who is standing, you heard the name of Jesus already.
You, today what you are doing, you think is good.
Yes. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So all those names you mentioned have been summed in Christ Jesus. Been summed. You want to see Jehovah Nissi? The Christ Jesus. What Jehovah Nissi is to us is what Christ Jesus is to us. It's okay. Now where are we going to? In Christ relationship. There is a relationship that we have in Christ. We have a relationship with God in Christ. If anyone is born again, that person is in Christ. And that relationship is beyond a relationship, it's called a fellowship. When you read the scriptures, there are four categories of fellowship. The word talks about that the word of God gives us. Fellowship, it talks about, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the word, and the communion. That's the actual translation of the Holy Ghost. Then we translated it sweet fellowship, which is the same. Sweet fellowship, but and the fellowship is the same. The fellowship we have with the Holy Ghost is not a sour fellowship, a bitter fellowship, a sweet fellowship. So saying fellowship is enough, not sweet fellowship. Shout hallelujah. So it says, and the communion with the Holy Ghost. So the first one is the first fellowship. It's our fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Write it down. Or communion with the Holy Ghost. Write it down quickly. What is when you come and you don't bring any book? You see, many of us have been taught in our churches to just hear the word and go home. In what years conference, we don't teach you that. We teach you how to hear the word and do the word. So we say, God doesn't honor hearers of the word. You waste your time sitting down hearing only the word. But God and his doers of the word of God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The second one, the first one is what? Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The second one is fellowship with the Father and his Son Jesus. But I won't teach all of them, I'll just teach only one. I just want you to catch this one so that you can write it down. Fellowship with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. And the third one is fellowship with one another. First John talks about and our fellowship with First John chapter 1 verse 3. And the fourth one is fellowship with the works of darkness. Fellowship with the works of darkness. But with this fellowship that I'm talking about, I want you to understand this. I'll close with this one. Next week I'll continue. I want you to catch these two ones that are, it's called mystery breakers. broken settlements. I don't have a covenant before. No. You don't know what will do, what that alone can do to you. Knowing that I do not have a covenant with God so that I perform my part and God performs his part. No. Rather, God is my father. I talk to him as a father. He talks to me as a son. I walk in this world as the son of God, the child of God. Somebody who can do what his father does. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, the last one is what? Fellowship with the works of Christ. That's the fourth one. But what we will actually be talking about, which is next week, is fellowship with the Son, with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is very important. Try this one down before we go. Now, there are two kinds of understandings. Today, what I'm teaching you is a little bit. Everybody's fine. Okay. There are two kinds of understanding. When the word fellowship is used in the scriptures. Two kinds of understanding, or two kinds of understandings, whatever conjunction is. When the word fellowship is used in the scripture, the first one is the understanding of fellowship by communication. The understanding of fellowship by communication. And the second one is the understanding of fellowship by essence. Shout hallelujah. The first one is the understanding of fellowship by what? Communication. And the understanding of fellowship by what? The first one just has to do with, we are having a fellowship now. Once you are going to a fellowship meeting, what are you going to do? You're going to fellowship with one another. So there's a communication, there's a sharing. That's the first one. So we have a fellowship with the Holy Ghost. By communion, by communication, by conversation, by reasoning together. We talk to the Holy Ghost, he talks to us. We are having a fellowship. When we pray, we are having a fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Because this, I always say that prayer is having a meeting with God on the inside. When you say you are praying, you are having a meeting, you are holding a meeting with God on your inside. When you say you are praying, those of you pray a lot. You are having a meeting because see, things don't change. When you pray, you don't understand what you're doing. But when you pray, you are having a meeting with God on the inside of you. There is a conversation. There is a fellowship. You understand? There's a reasoning together. That is one understanding of fellowship. The other one, what I mean by essence is that when he talks about fellowship, the second one he's talking about, that understanding is not a conversation he's talking about. Even though it's a sharing, he's talking about we having a fellowship with God. That fellowship is not we just talking to God, no. That word fellowship he uses there, which is the same translation, but different understanding. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Someone should open 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Someone should open 1 John chapter 1 verse 3 so that we can just go through this one. If this happens, we have a lot of things to be planned. Shout hallelujah. Say, I'm a world changer. I'm impacting my world.
I'm impacting my
business.
I'm
impacting my finances.
I'm impacting my relationships.
With the knowledge of Christ that I have received. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Quickly, I'm talking about the second one, but next week I'll take my time to explain it to God. I just want to, so that you don't see that, for you can't see me going here.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, mm-hmm. by whom ye were called, mm-hmm. unto the fellowship of the Son Jesus Christ.
God is faithful, by whom ye were called. Who was called? We. were called unto them the what?
Fellowship.
Of his son Jesus. In other words, the Christian is the one who is called unto the fellowship of the Son of God. So he says, God is faithful by whom we were called. What have we been called unto? Unto fellowship with his son Jesus. So we have a fellowship with the Son of God called Jesus. That fellowship is talking about is not a communication, no. That fellowship is talking about is a participation. Such that what it means is that whatever Christ is, we take part of that. We are partakers of whatever Christ is. So he says, we've been called unto a fellowship. That fellowship is not we are talking with Christ. That fellowship actually means that. Paul, come here, Paul, come here. That actually means that this person is Christ. This is Paul. He is Christ. Paul Christ. Shout hallelujah. Now, before I explain it, I'm going to the prayer John. Prayer John chapter 1, verse 3. And that's what is called fellowship. Fellowship of one another. Other one, I'll explain that one later. Later when I'm going to fellowships. But First John chapter 1.
First John chapter 1, verse 3. Mm-hmm.
Today I've talked about a lot of things. Right?
That's
all different and yeah.
First John chapter 1, verse 3.
Uh-huh.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us.
That you also will have fellowship with us.
And truly,
he defines our fellowship.
And truly, our fellowship is with the Father.
Is with the Father
and with his Son Jesus Christ.
And with his Son Jesus Christ. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, this fellowship is talking about is not a communication or a conversation or reasoning together with somebody. You reasoning together or having a meeting and this person is saying his own and this one is saying his own. That's also a fellowship. You understand? But this one is talking about is that this one is the Son of God. He's Jesus Christ. Then he says that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. So Oga has fellowship with you, with Jesus Christ. We've been called onto fellowship with his Son Jesus. Then John says this fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. The word fellowship there means a participation. It means that when this person believes in this person, whatever this person is, his being, his person, this person becomes. Then whatever this person has, this person begins to have. Or the person, this person also. So that fellowship is, this one is taking part or has taken part of this one. Not even this. Is taking part, but has taken part of this one, has taken part of this one. So this one is regarded by this one. So when he says we've been called unto the fellowship of his son, we say we are sons of God. Not because we work to be sons, no. But because this one is the Son of God. By fellowship. That is the second fellowship. This person is the Son of God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many have got that? This one has eternal life and is eternal life. By fellowship. That is the second fellowship. This one also has eternal life and is eternal life. So, as says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only because that whosoever believes in him will not perish but do what? Have eternal life. So, this one has eternal life. This one has eternal life because this one is fellowshipping with this one. That is the fellowship by essence. The very person of this one. So, when he says, for as he is, so are we in this world, it's because whatever this person is what this person is. I told this one last year. This person is fully defined by this person. That is fellowship. That is the kind of fellowship he's talking about. Because this one has been made righteous and is the righteousness of God, Christ Jesus, this person has been made righteous and is the righteousness of God. Because this one has dominion over all things, this one has dominion over all things by fellowship. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you, sitting down right now, you have a fellowship, you've been called onto fellowship with the Son of Jesus. Because whatever you want to find out who you are, check Jesus. You want to find out what you can do, check Jesus. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So whatever Jesus knows, this person also knows. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is called fellowship. That's why I said that the relation that we have is beyond a relationship, it's a fellowship. That is what Adam did not have. And that is what all the men who came until Jesus Christ came, all those who came to John the Baptist did not have. They didn't have a fellowship with God through his son Jesus. So overcome. Nobody is wearing white. So you represent God. This is the Father. Stand here. Then Christ Jesus, listen very carefully. This is God the Father. This one was in the Father, Son at the back. And this one who was in the Father has been now done what? Revealed. This person who has been revealed is the unveiling of the Father. In other words, when you see this person, he looks everything, every way like the Father. So the Father does not have to show himself to you. He has shown himself to you already by this one. Now you understand. That's why Christ Jesus is the light and the sight. So anybody who sees this one has seen this one. Anybody who sees this one and knows what this one has can tell us what this one has or what who this one is by seeing Jesus Christ. Anybody who sees what this person does or was doing, he was walking around, casting out devils, speaking to things and all of that. You see him, you see this one do that, you can tell that, oh, you know why this person is doing that? Because that is how this person lives. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this person is no longer a mystery. He used to be, but it's no longer a mystery because he has unveiled himself. Whatever used to be mysterious about God has been unveiled, revealed by the presence of this one, or by the coming of this one. Because of that, if this person has believed in this person and has a fellowship with this person, then, and this person is who this person is, and this person is who this person is, then it also means that 1 John chapter 17, people answer the question. 1 John 17, quickly, over you stand there. Lesson 1. Okay, 1 John chapter 17, reading downwards, verse 20. Hey, John chapter 17, sorry. Just last prayer so that you can just close with me. Verse 21, quickly. Verse 21 to 23. John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23. You can close here. Mm-hmm. Well, open John chapter. One in us. The glory that the Father has given to, that was Jesus praying, talking to the Father. And he says that the glory that the Father has given to this one, you have done what? He has given to this one.
That
we all may be one. When he says we all may be one, what is he talking about? He's saying that if we see this one, by seeing this one, we can know everything about this one. By seeing this one, we can know everything about this one. So whatever you want to see about God is with Christ. And whatever you want to see about Christ is with a Christian. That is why I said that if you meet Moses and you ask Moses, how righteous is God? Moses will not be able to explain the righteousness of God. But we can explain. We know what the righteousness of God is. We know that we have dominion over sin because we know. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we should understand who we are. If this person understands who he is, then when he looks at this one, the way he does things, he wouldn't come to this person to do something for him. Because he knows that by fellowship, whatever this person can do, he also can do. So what will he do? He will rather do what this one does. So when we come, we say, who did this? We say, oh, this is a Christian, he did that. We say, oh, no wonder. Why? Because he is doing what Christ does. Shout hallelujah. So everything that is about Christ, everything that is about God is with Christ. He did not hide anything about himself from Christ. And everything that is about Christ is with the church. That's why anybody wants to understand who Christ Jesus is cannot understand it anywhere than apart from the Christian. Any person who wants to know how real God is or how real the person and the power of God is cannot really explain until he has met the Christian. It's only the Christian who can demonstrate the power of God to anybody and explain to that person what the power of God is, because God's power has been given to this one and has been given to this one. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you understand that? You know why I taught this message? Because I want you to understand that the things that we are going to go do for me, going to Jesus do for me, are the very things that God is expecting us to do. In Christianity, there is such a thing as manifestation. Say manifestation.
Manifestation.
That is one major thing in Christianity. And what it means is that the Christian is showing for whatever he is in Christ Jesus. It is his responsibility to show forth, to expose it, to make people do what know whatever he has received or whatever he is in this person. It's called manifestation. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So God in Genesis spoke. Jesus came speaking. The Christian does what? Speaks. God has life eternal. Jesus came to unveil that life. He says, that which was from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1. The life which was from the beginning has been made manifest. That life which was from the beginning has now been given to this one. So when this person is coming, we see him as the life which was from the beginning. We don't have to see this one. We have to see this one. When we see this one, it's enough for us. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is called fellowship by what? It's how many of you have been blessed tonight? I've talked about a lot of things. If today is your first time of coming to watching this conference, you may not really catch this thing. If today is your second time, you may catch more. See, watching this conference, we don't only talk about, we talk about a lot of things. We don't just preach the word.
No.
We impart the word into you. Cause you, so that we can cause you to do something with the word and come back with a testimony. Shout
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They all look very quiet.
Too much revelation.
Zabibi, lift up your hands. We are praying for the next 10 minutes. Because we have another
program right before us.
Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won. I will listen to the as we sing this song. We are going to enter into time of prayer.
You are the risen King, seated in majesty.
Hallelujah. Malaka Shevala Hasai.
You are the risen King.
How many of you guys wait? How many of you know how to sing this song? How to sing this song?
How many of you know how to sing? how many of you know how to sing? You don't sing, that's different like that.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to sing it for the next 2 minutes and I'm going to
pray for 10 minutes. I want you to pray. I want you to do what?
Pray
in the Holy Ghost. Have a meeting with the Holy Spirit. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, you see something. Somebody wants to deceive you. You pray in the Holy Ghost, you see that this person is deceiving you. Something ought to change. You pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Next week.
Hey,
I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in unveiling mysteries in the Christian. Maybe I'll just add that. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Clap your hands, everybody.
As we sing this song, I want us to pray. I don't want you to stand at one place. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Malakoske pelebe sikala bakosaya. Malakoske